Guys, it's finally happening. Sports are back. 2020, I knew you had it in you. Sure, games will look different, but one thing remains the same. Hooters for your game day grub. That's right, no waiting in lines for cold hot dogs or warm beer. This season, watch the action from your couch with Hooters nearly world-famous wings or not-so-famous but still delicious salads and sandwiches. And don't forget the fries. Come on, give your crew the food they want. Visit order.hooters.com for pickup or delivery. Hooters, the original wing joint since 1983.
This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. It is presented by Hooters. Hooters has been the presenting sponsor of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast for season 2, season 3, season 4, and this season 5. My appreciation to Hooters, and I hope we will get to the point where later in the season we can get everybody together to watch and talk some football at one of the many Hooters locations, the original Hooters brand in the greater Tampa Bay area. We abided by their wishes and did not do our draft party at Hooters this year, and we hope to get there at some point later in the season. So instead, thank you to Sean Sullivan, one of the podcast league owners again this year, general manager of Bill Curry Ford, for hosting us in a very unique and very effective venue for a fantasy football draft on Labor Day weekend. Right after the dealership closed, we had the showroom floor in the Big Storm Brewery all to ourselves with catering from Hooters, and thanks to Papa John's of Tampa Bay. And Sean Sullivan surprised me and all owners by putting a $1,000 bounty on the championship this season that he is defending himself, just like Ben Stein and Win Ben Stein's Money, as a common contestant. Thank you, Bill Curry Ford. Thank you, Hooters. This is Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. I believe this is episode either 14 or 16 already this season. I am recording this on Friday afternoon as I am going to be away. You may be able to guess where, and not able to cut podcasts until Tuesday night at the earliest. So I wanted to simply give you an overall thought and then a quick thought on each game, on things I'm looking for from a fantasy standpoint. The first thing, and I stress this every year at this time, is don't overthink your week one starting lineup. Unless you have a Lions running back prior to Adrian Peterson being signed, or unless you have a Bucks running back prior to Leonard Fournette being signed, or as we addressed in the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast spinoff, the Bucks Bulletin, back on Friday, if you have Mike Evans or any player that is injured, that goes against what I'm about to say to you. Beyond that, here's how you fill your starting lineup in week one if you haven't done so already. See that guy you picked in the first round? Click him in your starting lineup. See the guy you picked in the second round? Click him in your starting lineup. See the guy in the third round? Click him in your starting lineup. Yeah, point being, whoever is the first quarterback you took, you drafted them to start week one. Whoever the first two running backs you took, you drafted them to start week one. Whoever the first couple receivers you took, you drafted them to start week one. And so on and so on. Don't reach at your middle to late round picks and play them ahead of the higher drafted guys. Otherwise, I question your draft philosophy. Unless there's an obvious injury, an obvious change in the depth chart, as I've already mentioned, or you're just a bad drafter, you play week one from the top of your draft board down. All right? That's pretty simple to me. And you're going to do that in week two with very few exceptions. Okay? So here's what I'm looking for in each of the games played on Sunday and Monday from a fantasy standpoint. There's a lot to be learned from the Miami-New England game. What do we expect from Cam Newton? What do we expect from Julian Edelman? What do we expect from any New England running back? On the Dolphins side of things, they have new running backs in Howard and Breida. It is Fitzmagic under center for this game. Can Devontae Parker pick up where he left off? A lot of questions as we watch the Miami-New England game. Cleveland and Baltimore. Does Kareem Hunt have a significant workload that impacts your selection of Nick Chubb as an RB1? Will Odell Beckham Jr. actually hit the ground running this season rather than last year when it took him, what, 2 months, 2.5 months to actually catch a red zone target? From the Ravens standpoint, can Lamar Jackson pick up where he left off, at least in the regular season? Will anything look different? Will it look like the Ravens are looking to throw more? Will Mark Andrews be the subject of more defensive attention, or will he be open down the seam and on the fringe of one of those top five fantasy tight ends? He certainly was drafted like one in most of the mock drafts I saw and the drafts I participated in. Will Mark Ingram still get a worthy workload as a fantasy running back worth starting? Or are we going to see J.K. Dobbins cut into that? Will Hollywood Brown play more than 10 snaps? He's always had a bad ankle. So there are the questions in that game. Jets and Bills, this is the lowest total on the board. So beware, Vegas is basically saying the fewest points in terms of touchdowns and field goals, field goals are all just kind of erratic, will come out of this game. We've heard very little good about Le'Veon Bell and getting anywhere near the workload that he had with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and that Frank Gore will get significant touches in the Jets' offense. From the Bills' standpoint, I guess we wonder the same thing about Devin Singletary as it relates to Zach Moss. The difference is Gore obviously has the largest sample size in the league, maybe other than Adrian Peterson at the running back position. Zach Moss is a rookie. And what impact does Stephon Diggs have in week one with the Buffalo Bills? And will Josh Allen get a rushing touchdown and be as effective with the legs as he is with his arm? Vegas at Carolina. This game actually opened even, and then Vegas went to a 3-point favorite. There's been literally no money coming in on anything relating to the Carolina Panthers this year. Vegas and the public seems very down on Carolina, despite having maybe the best player in the league in Christian McCaffrey. And I'd argue Christian McCaffrey might be as good at his position playing the game of football as Patrick Mahomes is at his position playing football. From Vegas' standpoint, let's see how the wide receiver touches and targets go with various people in play there as they had an entire offseason to reboot from the Antonio Brown disaster. Will Darren Waller get the most looks? He was kind of up and down last year, but he flashed at times as someone who might be worthwhile in daily, let alone if you needed someone in season-long leagues, if you're playing a 20th-century outdated mandatory tight end. Will Josh Jacobs continue to get a significant workload and be on the field for nearly as many snaps as Ezekiel Elliott and Christian McCaffrey in his second year? And then there's McCaffrey on the other side. You drafted him number one, and you just hope he goes off, whether Carolina looks great or looks bad. And what about the how good will the connection be between Teddy Bridgewater and DJ Moore? DJ Moore was fun to own last month or so of last fantasy season. Do he and Teddy Bridgewater pick up where DJ Moore left off? Seattle at Atlanta. Seattle is the best team recently in the league playing in the Eastern time zone in terms of the Western teams. That also reflects Seattle being basically a field goal favorite as a road team at the Falcons. From Seattle's standpoint, who produces more, DK Metcalf or Tyler Lockett? I personally like DK Metcalf, but I've seen in fantasy drafts Lockett go ahead of Metcalf, and I've also seen Metcalf go maybe one or two picks after Lockett. Chris Carson, very productive when healthy. Should be healthy. He's week one. Nobody's hit him. How long can that last? And Russell Wilson, often drafted as the third or fourth quarterback, sort of a love-hate fantasy quarterback for some reason. I guess people expect him to put up Mahomes or Lamar Jackson numbers. They're pretty damn good. I've owned him. I don't own him this year. It's not by design. It's just because the draft didn't come to me, and someone else said, yeah, Wilson's worth a In one of my drafts, he went late in the second round. In another draft, I think he went the third or the fourth. And I waited to the fifth or sixth round in my drafts to take quarterbacks. And then, of course, taking Aaron Rodgers in the eighth round as a tremendous backup option to Deshaun Watson. From Atlanta's standpoint, we're on Todd Gurley watch already. And the Falcons have no plan B. Don't give me Brian Hill or Ito Smith. Don't ask me any questions this year about those guys. I've already answered those questions in previous years. They aren't the answer in Atlanta. Honestly, if Atlanta's a really good team the first month and Gurley is noticeably limping or can't do the job, I wouldn't put past Atlanta being in the market to trade for an established running back that is in a situation where he's not being utilized. Oh, Jets with Le'Veon Bell. I don't know the Falcons' cap situation. I'd have to look at Le'Veon's contract, what it means for dead money to the Jets. That's just one example. But, yeah, we're already on Todd Gurley watch. Julio Jones, does he get in the end zone week one? It was actually Robert Woods last year who didn't get in the end zone based on percentage of targets and catches more than Julio Jones. So you expect Robert Woods to get in the end zone more this year for the Rams. Julio Jones, still a top three or four wide receiver. Couldn't believe in my foundation league I got a middle of the third round. And Calvin Ridley went pretty high in fantasy drafts this year, and I'm not sure why. Maybe those drafting him that high feel he will be more consistent this year as he grows older, but he's clearly a wide – I guess they're looking at him as, well, maybe he can take the Chris Godwin step. I'm not rooting against Calvin Ridley. I just need to see it to believe it. Philadelphia at Washington. With the Eagles, Miles Sanders was heavily valued in as an RB1 in fantasy drafts this year. Second year out of Penn State. They need him to be good. They dropped down to Boston Scott after that. I still have questions about how much the Eagles are going to get out of their running backs. Out of any one in particular, I still like the combination between Wentz and Ertz, although Ertz, I guess, is irked. He still has 2 years left on his contract, but he's kind of saying, hey, haven't I done enough to get a new deal? I don't think it'll affect Ertz on the field. I think he'll take the Aaron Rodgers approach of, I'll show you guys and just produce at an even higher level. From the Washington FT standpoint, good luck with that smattering of running backs. Barber's there. Gibson's there. Love is there. McKissick was listed first on the depth chart, and then Ron Rivera said, well, that's just because we wrote him in first. Okay, what was the point of a depth chart? McLaurin seems to be the only one that has fantasy value to start the season in Washington. Bears at Lions. Will Tariq Cohen have a significant enough role again to be at least worth a spot on your fantasy roster and catch, you know, 60, 70 balls again this season? How will Mitch Trubisky do? Will there be a quick hook? The game is on the road. If nothing else, the Bears aren't playing in front of any of their own fans who will be calling for Nick Foles. Allen Robinson, fantasy-worthy wide receiver two-type player. How does that play out? And David Montgomery battled injury in the weeks leading up to the season opener. I don't own him. I'm not updated on his status. So you need to check it on your own. Detroit, how much work does Adrian Peterson get in week one at the expense of Johnson and Swift? I think Galladay has an injury situation. So check status on that. Matt Stafford returning from the back injury. And Marvin Jones Jr. I'm even using Marvin Jones Jr. in daily this first week, because Marvin Jones Jr. gets in the end zone. And I think he might get in the end zone in this game. Indy at Jacksonville. This is the Phillip Rivers one-year thing. We expect it to only be 1 year. Again, workload for Jonathan Taylor over Marlon Mack. T.Y. Hilton on the road, where he doesn't produce as much at home, and he's a year older. Who else are we looking for? Some are looking for Paris Campbell to be more of a part of the Colts offense with Phillip Rivers. I'm very skeptical. Vegas and the public money loves Indianapolis, not only in this game, but to win the division. I'm not, with all the respect to Frank Reich and the career of Phillip Rivers, and I think Taylor is a worthy rookie running back, but he's a rookie, and in fantasy that tends to not go together, especially when you've had no work in scrimmages or preseason games. For the Jaguars, other than DJ Chark and Josh Lambeau, I got nothing for you. If I see something in the coming week or two or three that's notable on waivers, I'll talk about it. If you're investing in Jaguars to win week one in fantasy, you will lose. Green Bay at Minnesota, Aaron Rodgers is very motivated. I think Devontae Adams is very motivated. Didn't he get hurt week one, week two last year with the turf toe injury that lingered for much of the season? Aaron Jones should be very motivated. Don't expect to see a lot of A.J. Dillon week one. Minnesota, Dalvin Cook and the contract bothers me, bothers a number of people. We'll see if Madison gets some work behind Dalvin Cook for any reason. Adam Thielen is the unquestioned number one wide receiver in Minnesota. And among winning teams, I mean, it's not even close. I mean, it's kind of like Devontae Adams in Green Bay. That's what Adam Thielen is. And Thielen coming back from missing a lot of time last year due to injury, I think he could have a big year if he's healthy. Jefferson is seemingly the best option on the other side. Some of you drafted him in the later rounds. I don't think that's a bad choice. And Kyle Rudolph, to me, could flash in daily fantasy because he gets in the end zone. LA Chargers at Cincinnati. I don't like much about the Chargers at all. Melvin Gordon is gone. Austin Eckler, to me, isn't a number one back. I'm trying to think. Mike Williams is already hurt again. Keenan Allen should get yardage, but can Tyrod Taylor actually get him the ball? And I mean, among quick hooks of starting quarterbacks as we start the season week one, Mitchell Trubisky and Tyrod Taylor, I think, could both be benched if they don't play well in week one. They've got capable guys behind them in Nick Foles and a rookie in Justin Herbert. I'm not predicting it happens, but those are the two I'm watching. As far as the Bengals, we know it'll be Joe Burrow. I look forward to watching him. Is he going to get the ball to A.J. Green, who hasn't played a game in, what, 2 years? Or just feed it to Tyler Boyd? Tyler Boyd, kind of a poor man's Chris Godwin as a wide receiver 2/3. I don't expect Boyd to make the jump to a wide receiver 1, but he's dependable. He does a good job. I own him. I don't plan to play him a lot, but he's there when a starting receiver of mine goes down or is on a bye week. That's my plan. And what to make of Joe Mixon, who finally came on late last year, but now with Joe Burrow at the helm, how does that change Joe Mixon's role? Arizona at San Francisco. Texans look like they missed DeAndre Hopkins, didn't they? At least Deshaun Watson did. Expecting good things from DeAndre Hopkins in Arizona, perhaps at the expense of Christian Kirk, maybe more so than the legendary Larry Fitzgerald. Kenyon Drake, I think he was overdrafted. I do. Let's see what he has in week one. From the Niners standpoint, a ton of injuries at wide receiver. They hope, I guess, Deebo Samuel can go. They don't have much else out there, which means pretty good workload for George Kittle. I think it's important that Jimmy G gets off to a good start. Not that many of you are, I don't think any of you are starting Jimmy G in fantasy. And same with Raheem Mostert, who some of you are starting as a running back too. Tampa Bay at New Orleans. I did all that on the spinoff, the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast Bucks Bulletin. If you want a fantasy breakdown on Bucks Saints, then listen to the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast Bucks Bulletin and you'll get it. To the Sunday night game, Cowboys and Rams. Expect more of the same from the Cowboys. Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott, and Amari Cooper with most of the work. Let's see what CeeDee Lamb means for Michael Gallup. And if Blake Jarwin is taking another step as tight end with Jason Witten gone to Vegas. From the Rams standpoint, what do you got, Cam Akers? I mean, of all the rookie running backs week one, I think even more than Taylor in Indianapolis, we're sort of looking at what Cam Akers can do. He is really good. I remind you, one of my favorite parts of ESPN, I guess ABC's draft coverage, was when Cam Akers was selected. Kirk Herbstreit very matter-of-factly said, well, at Florida State, he had poor offensive line blocking, terrible quarterback play, and questionable play calling. Other than that, what was the problem? Cam Akers is now in a much better situation and being paid to play, and he's got a hell of an opportunity, basically being drafted as the number one guy with the Rams. Already talked about Robert Woods. I know people love Cooper Kupp, and so do I. But I own Robert Woods, and I'm starting him as a wide receiver too, and I think You know, he only had two touchdowns last year, and based on his targets and touches, that made no sense. Touchdown progression, aggression with Robert Woods. Jared Goff, he's Jared Goff. I mean, his cap number next year is near $40 million. Jared Goff is basically playing for his future this year. Good or bad, he's playing for his future. Pittsburgh at the New York Giants. Saquon Barkley, you want to see him get through this game healthy, although he didn't get hurt until week three last year in the Tampa Bay game, won by the Giants. You want to see what Jones does, who he gets the ball to, whether it's more Shepard or Slayton. I personally lean to Slayton. From Pittsburgh's standpoint, James Conner, how durable is he? Is it going to be more the 2018 version of James Conner? And how about Juju and Deontay with Ben Roethlisberger under center? And finally, Tennessee at Denver. You know I love Derrick Henry. I expect a ton of work for Derrick Henry in this game. We'll see if Tannehill can continue hooking up with A.J. Brown, especially for big plays. From the Denver standpoint, Drew Locke under center to start the season for the first time. He's got some very athletic guys to get the ball to in Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy. Can he do it? And what does Melvin Gordon do? And does Philip Lindsay still have a role? I think Philip Lindsay is a very underutilized player, an underappreciated player in Denver. And you know what? If Melvin Gordon goes off and Lindsay isn't getting the reps, maybe the Atlanta Falcons, if they're any good, could trade for Philip Lindsay and put him in as an unquestioned number one in Atlanta. So there's some quick thoughts about all the games Sunday and Monday. Good luck. Remember, you can email me your questions. Just do not email me on Sunday. I will be busy with my own teams and my own leagues. If you have any questions, email me any day of the week other than Sunday at ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com, ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. We'll talk to you next time.